The reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 14. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of that my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They were all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to
God. Amazing. Well, good evening. It is so lovely to be here and speaking with you guys tonight. For those that don't know me, I'm Sophie. As Tom said, I was a trainee last year here, and I've grown up at Emmanuel. So it's so lovely to be back with all your lovely faces. Can you hear me all right? Is that okay? Are we all good? Amazing. Tonight we are looking in Acts chapter 1. And this is kind of the, almost like the wrap-up of the Easter story. Easter was only a week ago. I know it's gone quickly. But yeah, this is kind of like the end of the story as we see Jesus goes back up into heaven after he died and rose again. He is then ascended into heaven. And the disciples are left kind of waiting. And they're left with this mission to go and make disciples of all nations. And so tonight I'm going to be touching on a little bit about what it means to wait on God, what that looks like, and how the disciples did it, how we do that. And we're going to learn a little bit from the Bible as well, going through. But before I start, I want to ask you guys some questions. Don't think of it as audience participation. I want to change the word to congregational conversation. Thank you, Mel. I'm glad you like that. I wasn't sure, but... I thought it was quite inspired, anyway. Hands up if you feel like you would say, "I am a patient person." Straight out of that. Do you know what? I love the looks around of people being like, "Your hand should not be up. Your hand should be up." So, my hand is definitely down. I'm not a patient person. Okay, next question for you. Hands up if you ever had to wait for something. Yeah, all of us, right? We all have to wait daily, whether that's at the traffic lights, whether that's for your next job, and all the things in between. Now, I want you to picture in your mind something that you've waited for, whether that was your favorite toy as a kid, or it is like a big next life change, or maybe you just waited at a traffic light and you were a bit annoyed. Maybe that's just me, I don't know. But what kind of things come to mind when you think about waiting? Shout out some answers. Q, yeah?
Silence.
Silence, okay. Christmas. Oh, that's a good one. I like that, yeah?
Frustration,
yeah. Yeah. Boredom, yeah. Yeah.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty, yeah, that's good. Yeah, so waiting can be full of confusion. If you think about being in a waiting room, there's often quite silent places. Often, it's quite a weird place to be. You don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes you can be so excited. Sometimes you can be so scared. I don't know about you, if you like roller coasters, but I love waiting in the queue for a roller coaster. I find they're amazing. Other people dread that. And so I think, you know, it covers all the emotions. So what I like to do is to hold on to those feelings of waiting, what it feels like to be in that waiting period. So I'm going to pray as we open the word. So Lord God, I just pray that tonight we would hear from you. That Lord God, we would seek your face. Thank you that your word is good, your word is true. So come and have your glory tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. So looking at Acts chapter 1, we read that this is Luke kind of carrying on his gospel. And he actually wasn't an eyewitness of Jesus himself. He wasn't a disciple. But he's a historian who interviewed those that did spend time with Jesus. And so he's kind of carrying these stories from where he left off. And this is, we've seen Jesus, we know from the Easter story that Jesus rode in on a donkey to be this king, to bring peace and reconciliation. And yet he died. He died on a cross, a gruesome death. And yet he rose again. And what an incredible truth that we can live in today, that we know. His disciples came and were like, whoa, Jesus is alive. This is incredible. And I'm sure there was so much confusion in that. There was a lot of them were uncertain, were like, Jesus, is that you? Like, did you really rise from the dead? And so Jesus has spent the last 40 days with his disciples, eating with them, talking to them. And they're probably still going a little bit like, is that him? Is he really there? And I think some of them are trying to grapple with the fact that he is alive and that he is the Son of God. And in verse 6, we see that the disciples are ready. They say, Lord, is it time for you to free your people, Israel, and to restore our kingdom? They're like, come on, Jesus, like, let's go. Let's overthrow those that killed you. Let's win back this nation. And so they were ready. And yet, what does Jesus say? He says, no. Not yet. Only God, the Father, knows when that day will come. He then goes on to say, actually, I'm leaving you as well. Just you know, I haven't been telling you, but I am going. And I'm leaving so that you will get the Spirit of the living God. I am going so that you will go and do these incredible works, so that you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But yet in verse 4, we see that he says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. So the disciples must have been sat there like, what is going on? Like, we waited for you, Jesus. You've come and you've made this miraculous appearance. We're so excited for you to see you restore your kingdom. And yet you're telling us to wait? What is that about? You're telling us to sit here and to wait on you. And actually, we're the ones that are going to have to go and do that. That's, wow, okay. And so I don't know where the disciples were feeling, but I'm sure they must have been confused. They must have been a little bit hurt by this. But then I think some of them were probably also empowered of like, okay, we've got a job to do in this. Because Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. In this nation that is filled with confusion, where there's conflict, where people are going to try and stop you, people are going to try and kill you, I want you to tell them what I have done. And so Jesus does go. The disciples are looking up to heaven, and they're like, okay, this is real. We have to go and do this now. We are the ones that are going to have to do this. And the good news of Jesus Christ is that we are sent in this power of the Holy Spirit. And so this brings me on to my next point, where we've seen the disciples, we also can see us. We too, right, are in this period, this position of waiting for Jesus to come back the way he went up. But then also, we too have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We too have been empowered to go and to preach the gospel. And so we don't wait passively for Jesus to return. We don't sit back and just twiddle our thumbs while, you know, oh, it's all going to be fine because Jesus will come back one day. If the disciples had, you know, had that attitude, we probably wouldn't be here. And so actually there is agency in the expectant of Jesus coming back. There is agency that we need to go and share this good news and that love with others. And if you're a Christian, if you follow Jesus already, you will know this. Because this is the gospel message that we have today. This is the reason that we call ourselves Christians, that we follow God, because we are in a relationship with him and we're told to share that with others. But how do we do that in a world that expects so much from us? How do we wait on God while doing what he's asked us to do, while also having to live in this world that demands our attention, demands our time, demands everything from us? In a world that doesn't say wait, how do we wait on God? So I think we learn from the disciples here. Because what do they do? Granted, they were waiting 10 days for Pentecost. I don't know if they knew it was 10 days, but they had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And so what do they do in that? They prayed. They prayed together. Acts 1, verse 14. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer. And so I think there's two things for us to take away from that. It's to be united in prayer. So if we look at the word united, the disciples stayed together. They were in community together. As Jesus taught them, the Holy Spirit would bring them together, would teach them together. Jesus taught in John 14, the Holy Spirit, the representative of me, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. So actually the gift of the Holy Spirit unites us together. We, unlike the disciples, don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit. We have it in us already. When we ask God, we can receive this gift. And in John 14, Jesus goes on and says, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of heart and mind. Peace that isn't as this world gives. And so we know that if we remain in Jesus, if we remain fixed in a community, fix our eyes on God, then we have everything that we need. We have peace in a world that is falling apart. Because Jesus came and he overthrew the world. And I know that is a hard message, and I say that to myself as well. But that is the message that we are told to proclaim. So we've got to believe it first of all for ourselves. We've got to believe that Jesus came to bring peace. And he brings us together in that. In the Holy Spirit, he unites us as one body. We are not told to do this alone. We are told to do this together in community. We see that the disciples did that. They prayed together. They went out together. They practically went out in twos and in threes and in groups together. And we need others, don't we, to keep us accountable, to keep us fixed on the mission that we have. And so I ask you tonight, where is your community? Who are those people that you can say, can you keep me accountable to this? Can you hold me to that? Can you make sure that we are doing this together? Because a race is hard enough to run, but it's slightly easier when you have someone to run with. The other thing that disciples did was pray. Joe beautifully shared about prayer and how that is such an incredible time to seek the Lord's face. So are we people that are praying? Are we people that are praying together in community? Are we people that are praying individually in the quiet spaces when no one sees. And not praying and not reading the Bible just because we should, because as Christians that's what we should do, but praying and reading the word and being in community because we are in a relationship with the living God. And the way a relationship works is that you need to talk to them. You need to learn from them. You need to get to know them. And so are we getting to know the God inside of us? Do we learn from him? Do we seek him? Do we listen to him? Do we talk to him? Because how are we as a people meant to share the good news about a God if we don't know him? How are we meant to share the good news of a God who loves us and is there for us if we don't actually spend any time with him? And I know that's true for me. If I haven't spent time with the Lord, then I am not as nice as I normally am. There's a few giggles there. We'll leave that one there. But we need to be people that are spending time together and spending time in prayer. Because also that's what Jesus did. How often do we read in the Gospels that Jesus went away and prayed to the Father? How often do we read that Jesus taught the disciples to pray together? So that's what we can see from the disciples. We can learn from them for us today, who have the same spirit, who are also waiting on God, that we need to be in community, that we need to be people that are praying. And so thirdly, I think we can also learn from the Israelites. Now, if you know, are you familiar with the Exodus story? The Israelites are God's chosen people, and they were enslaved in Egypt, and they had actually been brought out of slavery through Moses, God's servant, and he brought the people out of Israel. The people of Israel were brought out of Egypt and were set free from the captivity that they lived. And so I imagine if you were the Israelites and you've just been brought out of slavery, you're like, hey, we're free, but wait, we're in a desert. What are we doing? Why are we wandering around a desert? And God is like, no, I'm going to bring you to a promised land. I'm going to bring you so you can serve and worship me freely. Like, great, this is amazing. And then things don't quite go to plan, and they're lost and they're alone in the desert and they don't feel like they have God there. And the Egyptians were running after them, and then they get, Moses parted the Red Sea, and they walk through and these miracles happen, and you're like, wow, okay, God is with us. And one thing that I want to pick out from the Exodus story is a verse in Exodus 13 that says, the Israelites camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud and provided light at night with a pillar of fire. So this allowed them to travel by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from its place in front of the people. And so what that strikes me is that they had their guide with them. That wherever they went, they had God with them. They could quite literally look up and see that the presence of the Lord was with them. When the cloud moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. They quite literally had their navigation system above their heads. And what we can learn from this is that God is also with us. He might not be a cloud or a pillar of fire, but he is with us. But we need to seek him in it. Because if we learn also from the Israelite story, they grumbled and they complained. And they said to God, we're hungry, we need something. And so what did God do? He provided bread from heaven. They said, Lord God, we don't know how to live. We don't know what we're doing. So what did God do? He gave them the Ten Commandments and said, obey me in this way. The Israelites messed up time and time again. And yet we see that God is faithful. That God was with them. And God is with us today. Because that is the good news that we share. That Jesus took all our sin, all our wrongdoings, all our mistakes, and he died on that cross to save us. So that we could have a personal relationship with the living God who is with us. Because yes, waiting is hard. It can feel silent. But I can promise you that God is with you, even when you can't see it. Time and time again, God provides. And it's about seeking his face. It's about leaning in and making that time for him. Making the effort for God. Because he is there, we just need to look up sometimes. And I say that to myself as much as I do to anyone else. Because it can be really hard to see God's face in the midst of trial and temptation. But God is with you. God is with me. God is with us. And people often will say, actually, I don't have time. I don't really have time to do all those fun things, like go on a walk with God, or I don't really have time to sit and read my Bible for an hour. Or I'd love to do that, but I just don't have time. I don't have time to go to church today. I can't fit that in. But actually, if we think about a waiting room, what does that give us? It gives us time. In the waiting, I think God often gives us time to meet with him. Sometimes we don't like that. But actually, God wants to draw near to your heart. And God wants to be with you. And so in the business of life, because we can't completely stop all our responsibilities and wait on him, but God actually calls us to, in the busyness of life, to seek him in that. Whether it's the times that you eat, giving thanks to God. Whether you're at work and you ask God, what are the words to speak? How do I write this email? How do I go into that meeting? Be with me in that, Lord. Whether it's driving and you're talking to God, you're listening to him. Whether you're walking from place to place and you just look up and see him. Whether you put worship music on, put a podcast on. Whatever it might be, just having those little moments in the day to breathe God in. To say, okay, God, I need you. Holy Spirit, work through me in this. Because God is in the small moments and he's in the big moments. And the incredible news of Jesus, the incredible news that we are told to share is that we have a personal relationship with God. And we give others the opportunity to also find that personal relationship with the living God. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in each of us. When we seek his face, when we ask for God. And so wrapping this up, I don't know where you feel that you are in life. Whether you feel you were good with the waiting, whether you feel like you're really not. God is with you and he wants to meet with you. Because also the incredible thing about this passage is the disciples were told to wait on the Father. They were told to wait for God to send them. They were told to wait for God to say go. And so God is telling us to go in his timing, in his strength. It's not about what we can do or what we can give, but when we just freely surrender and say, Lord God, I'm here, take me, use me, then God moves in his power and in his Spirit. And so I pray that tonight that you would feel bold and feel empowered to walk into whatever tomorrow brings, whatever your season of waiting looks like right now, that you would know that God is for you, that God is with you, that he's given us community together. He gives us prayer to talk to him and to talk with each other in that. So I'm going to finish with a prayer. And I just invite you to spend some time. We're going to have a bit of silence. What might God be saying to you in this period of waiting? What might your Heavenly Father be prompting you with tonight? So Lord God, thank you that you are with us, that you are for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took all our sin and shame and you died on that cross to save us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you rose again. That is in your power that we can live and we can breathe for you. Lord God, thank you that you tell us to live in community, that you bring us together as one body. Thank you that we can talk freely with you, that we can have that personal relationship with the living God. Thank you, Lord, that you empower us with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. So, Holy Spirit, be poured out in our hearts. Would we seek your face?